Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Talk to me, Jimmy Buckets. Talk to me. Halfway home here on a Friday. Game 6 tonight. Be there or be square. Chase Center. Coverage of that starts right here on 95.7 The Game at Five with Warriors Live, but in fairness, all day is going to be, your coverage is all day.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
isn't it, Joe? You got us. We got Steiny Agoo. We got Willard and Dibbs. We got it all. We got Grandy and Evan after the game. We'll be all night. Hell, it could go to midnight. I don't even know. Go next day. They got Dan Devone. You got Steven Rizzotto. Next, we got. Where else would you rather be for Golden State Warriors Game 6 coverage than right here? Right? I'm fired up.
I can tell you're fired up. You're as fired up as Mark was about putting Dylan Brooks in prison yesterday.
Prison?
I mean,
prison?
Like,
let's go to San Quentin.
I heard he got a new sponsorship.
Let's go to Alcatraz.
I hope Mark's listening.
What is he doing?
I hope he's listening to. Well, I heard handcuffs are his new sponsorship.
Oh, it's not bail. It's not a bail bond.
No, but people are very angry about Dylan Brooks admitting at the podium that he's going after Steph Curry. Oh. I understand people feeling some kind of way. You know, it's Steph. He's the legend. He's the greatest franchise player.
Great point. Dylan Brooks, after the game, talking about going after Steph's hand.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
Fair or foul, 888-957-9570.
I think it's all fair. I mean, this is professional sports. These guys are looking to gain advantages, whether it's, you know, attacking someone who can't, you know, move as well. You're trying to put that person into the action, as they say, or go at them. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, is there a gray area when it comes to a shoulder injury and bumping into that shoulder or setting a hard screen to see how that person reacts to that? Sure, right? And look, Dylan has done things that I believe are outside of the gray area. The specific play on GP2 a couple years back, that was definitely outside of it. But to admit it at a podium, it might be shocking to people. I think it's inbounds.
Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. I know Laughing Monk is going to be off the hook. I think I heard that phrase like a bunch on Monday, but it's going to be off the hook today. Go to the Sunnyvale location, go to San Francisco, go get your brewskis, right? Go get your lobster linguine, get the pregame going during the game, whatever you need to do. Laughing Monk is the place to go to check out Dubs.
You know, like there are times where I feel like the rule book is outdated because the players have found the loophole, right? So for example, the pump fake, lean in. It's not basketball. Right. Like I hated that play. You know what I'm talking about. Right. Where James Harden would pump fake. And then the guy would leave his feet and he wasn't even really trying to shoot it. He was just trying to bait into a foul.
You know what the one I hated the most is when someone had their hand up and you could just swipe or no swiping. The like the Kevin
through.
Durant.
The swing always, through. The circle
those
through.
Were the worst.
Yeah. No, I don't like those either. And so like, does the rule need to be looked at in the offseason? There's no question it does. Right. And I'm sure even Dylan would probably admit it, because as a shooter, I'm sure he would want that called. But like as of right now, it's within the parameters of what's officiated, and the officials aren't going to get everything. And I understand people being frustrated for it because they're going to defend Steph Curry. But I don't think that makes Dylan Brooks the bad guy. Sports hate him because he does some things that I find to be hilarious. But if he was on my team, I would probably love Dylan Brooks. I admit it. I've spent over a decade rooting for Draymond Green. It feels a little hypocritical to be calling out, you know, Dylan Brooks for a lot of gray area stuff when I know that Dre does a lot of gray area stuff.
Dave Fleming, voice of the Giants, who's covered a lot of Warriors games, has called Warriors games. He joins us each and every week. He said the exact same thing. He's like, Warriors fans cannot talk a lick about Dylan Brooks considering what Draymond has done the last 10 years. He doesn't want to hear a peep out of them in regards to it. In fairness, though, this is what makes series fun.
Yes.
A good villain. Yes. Dylan the villain.
Yes.
Dylon. He spits hot fire, spelled differently, but that was a Chappelle Show reference. I just had to. Whenever I hear the word Dylan or see Dylan, I think of that skit. And speaking of that foul and swiping at it, Steve Kerr was asked about it yesterday. Hey, it's legal.
I believe that this is the highest level of competition. And I think, you know, these are the best players in the world. And they are going to do whatever is within the rules to win the game. And I'm not going to fault anybody for that. And so I just feel strongly that the league has gone down this path the last couple of years where they've decided that they call it the high five, you know, where you, if you high five a shooter, that's legal. Like, meaning if the ball is released and then you high five the guy, that's not a foul. Now, anybody who's ever played pickup basketball will tell you, you get high-fived on a shot, it's really hard to make a shot. And so I can tell you, all 30 coaches, as I said, we all believe that should be a foul if you high-five a guy. The league decided that it was not. And what happened then was the same thing that happens with every rule that the league institutes. The players figure out how to game the system.
And that's Steve Kerr, who's been, as a player, in some very tough and physical series. I mean, hell, all the series he was in back in the 90s and early 2000s, physical, right? You think about the Spurs team. What is the first thing that comes to mind? I think they were very physical defensively as a team. And he was obviously a spot shooter. And with those Bulls teams, you know, you had the likes of Dennis Rodman, Michael, all of them. They're going to exploit the weakness if they see one. That is what you do in sports at the highest level. You're going to try to do that. They do it, honestly. And I know you don't like, you scoff when I bring up this sport all the time. And you do it mostly tongue-in-cheek. I get it. But like tennis, if they notice someone's struggling with an ankle or a leg injury, they're going to be doing a lot of drop shots and try to force you to run up to the net.
Get them moving.
Exactly. They're going to force you to go up and down and up. And that's what the younger players do to the likes of a guy like, you know, Novak Djokovic, who is an older player who you want to get the wear and tear on him. That's what you do.
I remember when Kobe tore his thumb. I believe it was it might not have been torn, but he had ligament damage in the thumb. I mean, in the thumb, which I'm sure happens when you sprain it anyway. But because I'm not a doctor, I don't know the specifics. But I remember every team they were going up against was like, yeah, we're targeting the thumb. Like, of course, we're going to try to make him put it on the floor on that hand. And yeah, we're going to hit him. And yeah, we're going to go at him when he's on defense. And we're going to see if that hand is right. Like, that's sports. I want my team trying to gain an advantage. Like, hard fouls are part of the game, even though we don't love them. Like the other night, Jimmy Butler had a really hard foul on Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, swiped him.
And I loved that foul. I thought it was within the rules of the game. I didn't think it crossed the gray area. But I can see from a Houston perspective, oh, he's up in the air. He's vulnerable. Well, he went at the arm. You know, he went at the arm in that one and gave him what I call the OG, like, I'm just going to give you the business.
And there's a difference between that, which is legal, what Dylan Brooks is doing, as Steve Kerr said, is legal, and then what, like, you used Kobe's reference. I'll just go back to that 2008 finals. Like Jalen Rose sticking out his foot to intentionally try to like hurt Kobe's ankle. That's different.
How many guys set screens and stick their butt out to get you in the knee quad area to, you know, to do that? I mean, just again, like, I'm not saying you got to love it, but to acknowledge that it's not a part of sports feels a little silly to me.
Sure. And I don't fault Warriors fans for still feeling some type of way about it. You're absolutely can still hate on Dylan Brooks because of it. I'm not saying you can't. Like I don't want this.
Sports hate's real. I sports hate him.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
But I kind of grew to like him because of that Olympic doc. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's fine.
He seemed like a good dude.
No, absolutely. I think Flem, who we were talking about, said the same thing.
I also acknowledge
it was Daniel. It was the mayor yesterday, right? Daniel Lurie. He was saying he was watching it. He's like, why is he such a nice guy?
But the other part is that, like,
Canadian.
I also acknowledge for him to get into the league and stay and sustain and get contracts, this is how he has to play. Yeah. In the same way that Ron Artest needed to be an enforcer and in part Draymond Green, right? Like, there are certain guys in certain sports that you expect. Drake Greenlaw. I mean, how many Drake Greenlaw hits near the sideline have we been like, yeah, I like that hit, even though he got a 15-yard flag?
We were literally saying we missed that. This season, we missed some nastiness,
right?
Because they were just so soft defensively.
I remember when Clay Matthews tried to tackle Kaepernick around the neck and like clotheslined him near the sideline, and I hated it that he did it. But I also acknowledge, like, yeah, I would want my linebacker doing that to another quarterback who just beat us in the playoffs. And like, I love the way our team, the Niners, reacted to Kaepernick getting like clotheslined on the sideline.
Was it Brooks that did it to Drew Brees?
Well, no, he was going for the sack.
I know, but like
unintentionally grabbed him around the neck.
Right, and then you see like the meme of his neck is like shot out like
it's
a giraffe.
It's Mike Glennon's neck on him. But you know, like again, I think we're pretending like this isn't guys playing for legacies and stakes and all those things. Hey, don't bunt on Johnny Lester. He can't throw to first.
Stop. Don't bring up 2014 ever again in my entire life. I'm still sick about it. Speaking of Steph's thumb, he talked about it after the game. He had a little back and forth with our guy, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, Anthony Slater.
What's the state of your thumb right now?
Cold.
There was a picture, I don't know if you've seen it online, where it looks pretty swollen. I think it was with you walking to the plane.
I got the feds on me? What are you talking about?
No, the internet is the feds at this point.
I love this league so much. I love it so much.
How is your thumb besides cold because you're icing?
I don't even know how to answer it. It's just something you're dealing with and you keep it moving. As long as I can play, you got to rap for a reason, but that's it.
And for as much as we're talking about the Dylan Brooks aspect, it is still a thing because he struggled the last two games. Stephen Curry, he has not looked like himself, whether that's shooting the ball, but also the turnovers. Those are just if listen, I'm not going to blame it entirely on the thumb, but it's a part of the equation of why he struggled, I think, a little bit, right?
It's an element. I think that their defense overall and their principles on defense have been a bigger reason. The way Amen Thompson is guarding him individually is spectacular. And then I think Şengün's been so good at doubling and blitzing him very specifically on the floor. He's done a great job. Look, Steph has 19 turnovers. Draymond has 15.
And you remember?
That's five games. Like,
Jimmy Butler didn't play in one game, so I get it, but he only has one turnover. Who do you want the ball with? Like, who do you want to have the ball in their hands late in the game? It's the guy that's not going to turn it over. It's Jimmy Butler is what I'm saying.
If I told you Draymond was going to have 11 assists and 15 turnovers, I think most people would say you'd probably be down in the series at this point. Wouldn't you?
No, I'd agree. But the reason why you're up right now is because some of the heroics that we've seen, whether it was from Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry shooting the ball. Let's go to Quick Dog in San Francisco.
Hey, Quick.
Wants to talk Dylan v. Draymond. Quick Dog, good morning. What you got, ma'am? Quick Dog, make it quick. Yeah, no, that was a corn dog. I don't know what that was. That was bad. It's okay. But I was curious to see what he was going to talk about with the comparison of a Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks, because I feel like it's very similar. And that whole aspect tonight, do you expect to be still as chippy as it's been?
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. Maybe they're going to get a little tight. They don't want to do some. This is where the pressure really starts to ramp up. That was the one the Houston Rockets had to have to just push it back to Chase Center. Warriors are at home now. Can't be doing anything, like any boneheaded things. I'm not going to be put in situations where I can get ejected. Like I remember the early on last game, Amen Thompson yelling at GP2, which should have been a taunting call. And Fred VanVleet's like, all right, dude, like he bear hugged him and like got him away.
I still don't understand how Steph got a taunting call by putting up a two. And again, Thompson, the very next game, does it. I don't think either should be a taunting foul, personally. I'm going to tell you that on the front end. So the Steph one just made no sense.
No, it was
but
pretty.
But Amen Thompson was screaming in his face.
Screaming at GP2, just screaming at him.
I kind of loved it.
No, well, that's the intensity.
Yes,
like, that's
it's
what
old
I want.
School.
And I'm going to keep talking about it, man. Like, the only scenario I see the Rockets winning this game is in a blowout type of fashion, like a double-digit type of fashion. I think if it's a close game late, single digits, I think that favors the Golden State Warriors. Keep it tight throughout, whether you have the lead, whether you're behind. I'm going to trust on those big boys to lead me to greatness in the end. That's Jimmy, that's Steph, that's Draymond. 888-957-9570. What is your confidence level, Dub Nation, heading into tonight's game? Game 6, Chase Center, tonight, 6 o'clock. Be there early.
I keep coming back to the same things. First quarter, what does the defense look like? I'm talking about the Warriors' defense. Secondarily, what does their half-court offense look like when the Rockets go to a zone and they sag down? You know, how are you going to free up Steph Curry? How are you going to square up to the hoop? Who are you going to get extra buckets from? Can you knock down threes? If you are losing the three-point battle against this team, it's not good, right? You should have a clear advantage in that category, and you have not. And then are our guards rebounding? And are you limiting live ball turnovers? You know, these are the checklists that I'm looking for. Boy, it'd be nice to have a Pajemski game again.
Right? It'd be nice to have a Pajemski, a Buddy Hield game, someone else stepping up outside of the big three. Or is it within the big three? We were doing call-outs earlier, and we can revisit that
Jimmy.
One. You had Draymond.
I'm calling out Draymond because, look, Draymond has had moments in this series, right, for me. Moments, like down the stretch in game 1, down the stretch in game 4. He's had moments. He's been in foul trouble. And to me, the offense has been so bad for the Warriors. They've needed his playmaking. He's been in the matchup where he can exploit Fred VanVleet, either off the dribble or shooting over him. He's averaging 6 a game in this series. It's not enough. They need more. They need it up to 10. They need the facilitator, Draymond. The assist-to-turnover ratio has been not good. And then defensively, I think that he's been compromised. I think this is a really bad matchup for him. And I acknowledge Şengün is a tough matchup for anyone. And although situationally in the two big wins, he led to it down the stretch with his defense, it does feel like his first quarter defense in this game has to be ratcheted up, and they've got to find a way to shut off the passing lanes for Şengün. I'm not really worried about him scoring per se. It's being a scorer and a facilitator. You can't let him be both.
No, absolutely not. He was a rebound and assist shy last game of a triple-double. Some of that obviously coming in garbage time, quote-unquote, when the Warriors bench made a run and the Rockets had to bring their starters back in to ice that game. In the meantime, let's go to Larry in San Francisco, wants to join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Larry, good morning. How are you feeling about tonight's game?
Hey, I feel pretty good about tonight. I think we're going to take Houston out. But this is what I want to say about this thumb business. Listen, how many times you guys play basketball on your court? And, you know, in my hood, we play hunch basketball. So if we know somebody that we playing got an injury somewhere, we go after it.
Exactly.
It's no different than the NBA. Exactly. Curry is going to be just fine. Until he figures out the way that, hey, I see they going after my thumb, he'll try something else to get past that and get over and get an open shot. As far as this stuff about the business, about, oh, he's playing dirty, they're not playing dirty. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Because if I know you got an injury and you're better than me, I'm going after that injury.
Well, What park did you play at growing up?
Oh, man. That baby, man. And baby gym over there.
Yeah, okay.
Man. That's in the hood, man. So, you know, we all got in.
Chain Nets? I'm a St. Mary's Park kid. I played at St. Mary's Park, so trust me, I know. No blood, no foul, you know? That's how we played growing up.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't be out there crying. But now, one more thing. As far as that two thing about making gestures and all that kind of stuff, remember that if what's the movie with, God, what's that movie? It's a football movie with,
Longest Yard. Remember the Titans?
No, Kurt Russell and the guy from the city.
Kurt Russell? No, that's Burt Reynolds.
But what I'm trying to say is the coach was intimidating, making gestures to Kurt Russell and but their football team. And it was, you know, that's what I'm looking at. I can't think of the movie right now.
It's called What to Watch. Or Touchback. Touchback.
I don't think I've seen that.
There you go. Yeah, Touchback from 2011.
So that's why I'm making a comment about the two-finger thing. You know, that's nothing. You know, and they calling that, what was the call again? God, I can't believe this.
It's all right. It was a great call.
No, it's good jobs, Larry. Hey, Larry, I appreciate you. He's fired up.
Don't be a stranger, Larry. I love that call.
Touchback is what it's called. A man looks back 15 years to the injury that ended his career as a promising high school football player. Huh.
You know, like, all throughout the regular season, what do I hear from people that want to rip the NBA? These guys don't like you. They all like each other. There's no animosity. Nobody plays any defense. Oh, it's just soft. The league is soft. Everyone's foul hunting. And nobody can play through contact like they used to. All the things that we critique about the regular season have been flipped upside down for the playoffs. And I've enjoyed it.
Everything's been chippy. I got Giannis Antetokounmpo and Tyrese Halliburton's dad getting into it after the game. That was a 5-game series. That was very chippy, right? Like Detroit in New York yesterday, a lot of chippiness. Mm-hmm. Like, I love this stuff. But Clippers and Nuggets
have been at it. Clippers been at each other's throats.
Yep, this has been great. For as much as we dogged on it,
the Lakers within themselves at each other's throats.
JJ Redick versus the press, absolutely. it's all baked into the equation. I've loved the playoffs have been incredible for as much as we dogged on the product and the lack of eyeballs. I remember we were doing a show after Christmas and we were just crushing the NBA.
No, it's been amazing.
It's been amazing.
The playoffs have been amazing.
It's been great.
And look, has the officiating been all over the map?
Yeah.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. There's just no doubt about it. But the organic animosity has been spectacular. Şengün. I didn't realize how much I was going to hate Şengün. Sports hate.
Yeah.
You know, throughout this series. You know, Fred VanVleet, boy, I've rekindled that hatred. You know?
6 years dormant.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen Thompson. How many Warrior fans are watching him going,
God, he's great.
Wow, I really like watching this kid play. I can't stand that he's doing this against us, but I have tremendous respect. He's guarded Steph as well as anyone has guarded Steph in a long time.
There's a lot of people calling and saying, man, God, I wish Kuminga could have been that guy.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of, like, and I get it. I feel it. Albeit Amen Thompson, I think a better overall prospect and less raw. But that being said, I've been very impressed with Amen Thompson, given his age, given everything. His shooting performance, by the way, his shooting last night, like, that can't happen again. That's talking about things that cannot happen. Amen Thompson can't drop 25 on 8 of 12 shooting.
He was attacking. He was moving without the ball. He was hitting middies. Like,
8 of 9 from the free throw line, making his free throws.
I mean, he when you get downhill and you get up in the air like he does, like, you're dynamic. And they don't have a lot of answers for that.
God, he's got a dynamic hairline, too. That thing is chiseled.
I mean, he's a beast.
We got Bonte coming up in about 36 minutes. Bonte Hill, Warriors pre and post game for NBC Sports Bay Area. Obviously, 95.7 The Game host. He has a lot of thoughts on tonight's game. I wonder if he's going to be out there at Chase Center. Obviously,
probably
be out
there. I would think so.
You know, I just tease it. If he's, that's when he says,
the King's getting the red carpet treatment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is out there doing the King's Court?
Chariot awaits.
The King's Court?
The King's Court.
Love it. Maybe we'll get a little Wii ready. Why not?
A little helicopter action. A little
helicopter. Oh, my God. Sam.
the helipad that says H. Instead, it says B on it for Bonte.
Well, it says H for Hill, not H for helicopter.
H for Hill. You're on fire.
I'm thinking about Lex Luthor in Man of Steel, where he's on the top of the helipad and Superman is like arguing with him. Oh, God.
He's fighting with Dylan Brooks up there.
Oh, that's so good. Fine for my life.
I need you to stop going at Steph's son.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
There's the Steph symbol in the background. Oh, God. Was that Batman versus Superman? Was that what that one was?
I think so, because Man of Steel was Michael Shannon.
You're on fire.
You are on fire.
Guru's somewhere listening to this right now, nodding his head.
Hey. Guru's listening, not Bonte.
What's coming up? The game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. I think judging from our tone, we're feeling pretty confident about the Warriors tonight. You feeling confident about the Dubs tonight? Let's talk about it on the other side. It's Spadoni and Shasky. It's the morning roast. It's 95.7 The Game, baby.
I'd like to see some more.
You know, Mayor, you've been trying to crack down on crime here in San Francisco. I would like you to maybe get the police in on, you know, Dylan Brooks. I don't know. What are you thinking? You know, the way that he's assaulting Steph Curry.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Man, maybe I am more like Willard than I think with that laugh in the background. I got to gas up all your jokes, so I got to be laughing. It was okay.
No, I want to credit Mark.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
I was stuck in traffic yesterday, and him, Dibs, the callers, I was like glued to my steering wheel.
Okay.
And it gave me content for today, so thank you, Mark. I love you.
It's great.
I do.
No, for sure.
Thanks.
Dibs, yes, you too.
We got Bonte Hill coming up in about 30 minutes at the top of the hour. Each and every Friday, he joins us for the entire hour in studio. Bonte Hill, and by the way, Steiny and Evan just let me know, special guest for Steiny and Goo, Warriors related, at some point, maybe around the 11 o'clock hour. I'm not promising anything.
Might be a friend of the station?
Might be. We'll just say that. Might be a friend of the station, special Warriors guest, potentially with Steiny and Goo. All right. Confidence level, Dub Nation, where are you at tonight? I want to take the temperature of Dub Nation right now, and the confidence level is what? That the Warriors will win tonight, heading into Game 6, Chase Center, 6 o'clock tip-off, get off early, get to the gym, and show out. And put on a shirt if you want to. But what's the confidence level?
You and the shirts, dude. Just put them on. Who cares? It's like it's no skin off anyone's back. Just put the shirts on. My confidence level, surprisingly high. I would say 8.5 to 9.5.
Wow.
Out of a 10, yeah.
Out of 10, we can do
this
that.
This is why you got to take a nap, you know? You got to basically reset your thought process and come out and go, all right, deep breath. I reacted to the game loss. I've had a chance to chew on it. I know what we need to do better. I know what adjustments need to be made. We're at home. I'm expecting a better performance from my big three. I think I'm going to tighten the bench a little. I think I'm going to go with my 8-9 guys at most. And I'm expecting more offense from Draymond, Pajemski, GP2, and Buddy Hield.
So you're at an 8.5?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to put mine, and we're doing confidence levels right now in the Warriors game 6 tonight against the Rockets. I'm going 7.5, 7.5.
Out of 10?
Out of 10. I'm pretty confident. That's pretty confident for me. But that also shows me some respect for Houston that, you know, they have more than a puncher's chance to win this one.
I fear Houston. I want to make that very clear.
Fear?
Yeah, of course.
I respect them. I absolutely respect them. I don't know if I fear them in this scenario because I have Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. Wow. And generally speaking, when you have the best players on your team, you usually win the series. It happened, for the most part, all around. I guess the Bucks are an exception because Giannis was incredible in that series, but he didn't have the rest of the team wasn't as good as what the Pacers had, whether it was Siakam, whether it was Halliburton, whether it was anyone else on there for Indiana. Go to that Lakers-Timberwolves series. Anthony Edwards, he's the best player in that series. Yeah. He's the best player.
Yeah.
And Rudy Gobert was the best player in game 5, in the closeout game. Yeah. He was the best player.
Julius Randle was pretty good.
Julius Randle looked incredible, by the way.
Really flipped my opinion of him.
Well, that's going to be, again, if you take care of business tonight, we can look for that series at another point, take care of business, and then we can talk about it. I was already starting to think about the matchups, but you don't even want to do that as a Warriors fan today because that's when you start getting heartbreak seeping in potential. Alex is on 101 South. Alex, how are you feeling about tonight's game? You confident?
Yes, sir. I'm about an 8.5 on the Richter scale for the Dubs, and I think the Thompson twins are going to be singing Hold Me Now because last night Brunson over Ozier, and tonight we're going Steph over Amen for the game winner. Shout out to my pops going to the game tonight. I hope it's a good one.
Let's go, pops. Let's go. He has game winner Steph Curry shot.
I like that. I said, my guy I'm calling out tonight, it's the chef. Steph, top 10 player in the history of the sport. Only one remaining. It's that guy. The guy that won it all. He brought America the gold. We all love him. I'm looking at him tonight. He's going to have a big game. I'm feeling an arrogant Stephen Curry game tonight. How great would that feel, by the way?
What?
Just a Steph game. Just early on where you know it's like, oh, okay.
Love to have a Steph game.
Right?
It is funny, though. Like, when we ask these questions, it does feel like he just flies under the radar. There's an expectation level of what we, you know, I've come to see from him. And, but the other part is, like, I also think that when he doesn't play well, it's like, it is Steph. But it's like, hey, look, if Tom Brady throws 4 interceptions in a playoff game, the Patriots are losing.
Yes. If Patrick Mahomes is doing that, the Chiefs are losing, as we just saw.
The Cincinnati Bengals, right, in the AFC Championship game.
Yes.
Right? And a couple years back, he threw multiple interceptions.
Or the Super Bowl.
Or the Super Bowl, yes, exactly. Right? So, like, it goes without saying that your best players need to play like it. And I think in the last game, he'd be the first to admit the first quarter, I mean, it was like 3 or 4 possessions out of 5 in a row were just awful. And he had a loose handle, and Thompson was just in his bag.
I'm trying to think of a series. I think there's been games where, like, the best player on the team, it's rare the best player on the team has a huge stinker, but you still end up winning the series. I think that happened.
Kobe game seven.
There you go. He was like 6 for a million.
Ron tested a couple corner threes. Yeah,
there you go. And that was, neither side can shoot.
The Celtics.
I think Rasheed Wallace had a big game in that one. Rasheed Wallace as a Celtic.
I loved Rasheed Wallace.
I got this one for you. And I like this question to throw out to the fans. 888-957-9570. What has to happen tonight and what cannot happen tonight if the Warriors are going to win? I like that two-parter. That's a good one.
Here's what can't happen. You cannot allow Fred VanVleet to be a catch-and-shoot guy on the perimeter. You have to make him put the ball on the floor and play in under the arc. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him playing on the outside of the arc. I want him playing in the mid-range and into the paint. If you force him into that, I think you're in a better spot.
What cannot happen for me tonight is Fred VanVleet going off. I cannot have him scoring willy-nilly in the 3-ball confidence be there for Fred VanVleet. He scored 26 last game. He led all Rocket scores. I cannot have that happen today. The efficiency needs to go down. He has been on fire these last 2 games. I expect Amen Thompson to not replicate that performance of 25 points. I don't think Dylan Brooks is going to put up 24 again. I expect Şengün can pretty much be where he's been at for the most of the series. But Fred VanVleet, I need to stop that guy. And I have the size to be able to do it. I know the guy's 6 feet tall. He can't get his own shot whenever he wants. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Amen Thompson. He's not a physical freak. He's a short guy in comparison to all this. Like, use that to your advantage. Do that. And what has to happen for me tonight on the flip side, I need at least 20 from both Steph and Jimmy.
Well, I want Jimmy to be the one who gets the ball in the first quarter and somehow, you know, if it's through screens that set it up or just a high pick and roll, get Van Vliet guarding Jimmy and get Jimmy going downhill. Let's get Jimmy on the mid block. Let's get Jimmy on the low block. Like, I think the matchup between either Draymond, Pajemski on Van Vliet offensively or Jimmy on Van Vliet, they need to exploit that. Any of those three that find themselves with Van Vliet guarding them, that's who you go after. They're going to dare you to shoot. You got to make them pay for it. It would be really nice to see a couple of midi, like, floaters from Dre and Pods saying, hey, I'm going to take this mid-range shot at the elbow and in, and I'm not going to hesitate.
Talking about what I don't want to see, I don't want to see Jimmy Butler at the end of shot clock chucking up threes. I saw that, like, three times last game. Because
guys were afraid to square up to the hoop.
And I don't want that to happen again.
Too much passing around and not attacking. Like, there's a difference to, like, I'm passing just to pass, and I'm passing to actually penetrate into the lane. If they're going to go zone, you have to get into the lane to kick out. You have to get into the lane for back doors, or you have to skip pass it to open shooters, and you have to be decisive. They were none of those things.
Here's Steve Kerr talking about Jimmy Butler and his physical status heading into game six.
He's good. Yeah, he's ready to go. He was in our walkthrough today and film session and moving around well, and I think he's feeling a lot better. Jimmy will be ready to go tomorrow.
Any concern right now with the fatigue factor heading into this game? Is that, like, the one big question still for you, is physically where this team is at? Because there is this old adage, right? It's the youth and inexperience of one team, and it's the age and it's the experience of another. And that's basically what this series has come down to for a lot of people. Old versus young, experience versus non-experience. You think any of that matters come tonight? Or is it just what we've seen in this series is most of these games have been pretty tight, albeit outside of last one. Is it going to be more like that for the majority of the series being just tight, tight, tight?
I don't know what to expect. These games are like their own entities.
Okay.
What I love to see, like, Moses Moody take the positivity that happened in a blowout game and roll that into this one and hit a couple of big shots early. Hell yeah, I would. But would I be surprised if Steve barely played him? Nah, I wouldn't be surprised at that either. Right?
What is the trust factor right now there?
With Moody?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's almost shot to shot, possession to possession with Buddy and Moody. I think they're kind of interchangeable right now. And I think you're searching for one of the two of them to have a game.
And Steve Kerr, again, said yesterday on with Willard and Dibbs that he's all options are on the table for the starting five tonight.
All options are on the table for sure. I think we will consider everything. You know, there's always an offense-defense component to any of these decisions that you make. And as I said, lineup combinations, what's coming behind the play, you know, behind the first rotation, who's playing together. So we're leaving our options open.
All right, options open. What are those options? Who should get the start tonight? Outside of Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, and Pods, I think those are going to be locked in four. Who else is going to be out there? Who's that fifth guy that you want out there, Dub Nation, tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off? It's going to be Pods, Steph, Butler, Green. I'm giving you a fifth option. Who do you want to be out there with all those guys? 888-957-9570. I think I'm sticking with Buddy Hield. I think that's what I'm going to do. It wasn't a good game from anyone. I feel like last time around, I think that's just a big stinker. And, you know, I'm not looking at Buddy and crushing him for that performance. It wasn't great, but no one was great in that game. So no. I think I'm sticking with Buddy Hield. And I think he's been pretty solid defensively for most of this series. He's got some size. He's trying defensively for the most part. And if he's knocking down some early three-point shots for me, that's gravy, man. And I feel a tremendous amount of confidence if that's going to be early in the game in that first quarter. What about you? You sticking with Buddy, Joe? I didn't like that.
I don't know. I don't know what he wants. Like, are we trying to, like, get movement going? Like, Buddy's probably been better defensively than anyone gives him credit for.
Yeah.
He's really actually shown a lot of heart on a lot of loose balls and whatnot. But, Yeah, I'd probably lean Buddy, but if it was Moses Moody, I wouldn't be surprised either. I think you get a little more of like a guy who can attack around the rim with Moses. I mean, slightly more. It's not some crazy difference. Mm-hmm. But Buddy's shot is a little better right now from three. I lean Buddy.
You lean Buddy?
But I go back and forth.
Thank you, Steiny. Sitting on the fence on this one. Who do you want starting alongside the big three pods? Do you want Buddy Hield? Do you want Moses Moody, who we talked about, who's starting for most of it? Did he find his shot in that second half? He's starting to feel a little bit more confident in that jumper, if you will. Do you go? I think you mentioned GP2 earlier. Do you try to go and attack defense? If we mentioned Fred VanVleet, do you stick GP2 on Fred VanVleet? Try to stop him, right?
But I like GP2 coming in at that 8-minute mark.
Okay.
Because I think that it's kind of been a tried and true, you know, little jolt. He brings a little something. Usually he gets a little left-handed layup, or he's moving, or he'll get that wide-open corner three.
I'm with you, though, about the trust factor heading into this game is going to be very interesting. You're going to see a very tight rotation, I think, from Steve Kerr, if it's not a blowout. Like 8, maybe 7 kind of guys, and I'm sticking with those, and we'll see what happens. Like, I think Quentin Post is going to be a part of that. I think Kevon Looney is going to be a part of that. I think Gary Payton's going to be a part of that. And we'll see with Moody how many minutes he has. So maybe I'll say 9. Like, they'll interchange those. But
if he played Gee for a couple of minutes,
maybe.
Because of foul trouble, I wouldn't be surprised.
Sure. But I think those guys are going to be baked into. I know Jana Mountain View wants her Pat Spencer.
Well, if you're going to put Pat Spencer in, and this is tongue in cheek.
You have to smile immediately on your face.
Tongue in cheek.
I'd like to see some more Pat Spencer in my life.
Jana Mountain View, I also need in my life.
I would, you know, it's Hack Adams time. And instead of Looney wasting a couple fouls, I check in Pat Spencer just for the standing ovation, and I let him tackle Steven Adams. Maybe headbutt him. It's a joke.
Well, I might not even do anything. Steven Adams is a large man.
Yes.
He might just bounce right off him. Talking about Aquaman, Jason Momoa, that is Steven Adams. No, but Pat Spencer's, he's an interesting guy for me because you brought him up. And you were yesterday, you're like, you know, are there some minutes maybe for Pat Spencer in the next game? I was like, whose minutes is he taking?
No, it's I don't see it happening.
Okay.
You know.
No, but I'm like, I think you generally would like to see him though today.
Well, look, do I think Pat Spencer's some end all be all? No. Do I think that he deserves 10 minutes a game? No. A couple of Pods' minutes? I'm not mad at that. And it's not about like not liking Pods. I like Pods, but like just a couple minutes, he just brings a little something to the table. I feel like he's tougher than we give him credit for, gets into the lane. He's a willing passer. He's a good rebounder. He finishes in the lane. Like as a third point guard, you could do a lot worse than him.
Yes, that's true. I don't know if that's a huge compliment.
He's better than Corey Joseph. He's better than Brad Wanamaker.
It's not saying much, but I hear
you. Nico Mannion. Like, they've had a lot of
Nico Mannion hasn't even been in the NBA.
I know, but they've had a lot of bad third point guards.
Oh, fair enough. And the age is a factor there. Guy's bounced around a lot. He knows what he's doing. What is Nico Mannion up to this year? He's on Olympia Milano. All right, he's in Milano.
In the same way that, like, I don't view Gee, like, so other people disagree with me on Gee, but, like, I don't view Gee as the end all be all. But there is something to be said for when a guy like Gee or Pat Spencer comes into the game. They play with a little bit of like a little energy.
What if, here's a name I'll throw out who didn't play last game. He's a DNP due to an illness. Jonathan Kuminga. Is he outside the circle of trust?
Well, it's not even that. It's just
Then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
My personal opinion is I want to talk about people that have a big impact on winning. Now, these ancillary guys.
As
like
we were just talking about Pat Spencer, but continue.
That was a joke, right? Okay. It started with me being like kind of joking. Okay. But like wasting time on Kuminga to me feels like it's we're doing a disservice to the audience because he hasn't played in a lot of games that have mattered for the Warriors down the stretch here. And when he did, it's looked spotty at best. So instead of obsessing about what he could do down the line or why he hasn't played or this. Let's talk about the guys who have played. How do we reduce live ball turnovers? You know, how does Steph and Draymond, you know, stop turning the ball over? How do we defend without fouling? How do we get Jimmy Butler on the right matchup to get him going and get him at the free throw line and get Dylan Brooks in foul trouble?
Of all the crazy scenarios that could take place tonight, would that be the craziest? Jonathan Kuminga getting significant minutes and hitting big time shots and buckets.
I would be here for it. Because I'm rooting for the young man.
Yeah, of course.
And I think it would be, I mean, that's Disney story stuff.
Right.
But I don't believe that that's going to happen.
Steve Kerr talked about it yesterday. Steve Kerr talked yesterday. William Dibbs, he's feeling better, and he's not ruling him out potentially in the series still.
Yeah, he's feeling a lot better. I talked to him today, and so he should be ready to go tomorrow. And there's absolutely a chance for him to make an impact, you know, tomorrow. I thought he did a good job. The game he started, I think it was game three when Jimmy was out, he did a really nice job guarding Jalen Green early. Clearly, we can use, you know, his athleticism, you know, his ability to get to the rim. Again, it's all lineup combinations. And what makes this tricky, as I've said many times to you guys and to others, it's all about the combinations. And you know, we've got to find the right balance of shooting and playmaking around Jimmy. And that's what changed, you know, the calculus for JK. Those are the things we're continuing to weigh. But he's absolutely, you know, part of, you know, our thinking in terms of, you know, possible adjustments for tomorrow.
He's not ruling him out. He's talking about his athleticism and size. And maybe there's some moments as a defender, it's not as a scorer, but as a defender, hey, if Jalen Green's hot tonight, Shasky, do you think about it? Maybe polishing off JK.
And if Jimmy looks compromised, that's a different question.
Okay. By all accounts, he's not, according to Steve Kerr. But again, we'll see how the game plays out.
No, I know. But he wasn't moving great in game four, you know, the first half. And then in the second half, he looked better. I think there's a lot foul trouble is a big part of this. You know, who's got it going? You know, GP2 is passing up shots left and right, and he's in the lane. Like, he's a guy that could get phased out for Moody or maybe a minute of Kuminga or whatever. I find the entire Jonathan Kuminga exercise to be an exhausting one. people are cemented.
Jonathan Kuminga.
People are cemented in their views. He hasn't played a lot. I mean, look, total minutes in this series, Jonathan Kuminga. How many do you think?
Oh, boy. Scat-da-da-da. 20.
Played 43 minutes.
43. Oh, wow. So, I was more than I thought. I was going to go 29.
Okay. Guy Santos has played 37. So,
wow.
If you were to ask me as many and as much as we all talk about Jonathan Kuminga, Guy's playing about the same amount of minutes. Now, one wasn't available for one of the games that he probably would have had more minutes in, but. We're doing a disservice to the audience on what's going to actually factor into this game. Draymond Green is going to factor in this game. Jimmy Butler is going to factor into this game.
I don't think it's a disservice to the audience just to bring it up as a potential piece in a game.
No, but I think obsessing about it the way that we have as a station.
Have we obsessed?
And as a fan base. No, as a fan base as well. I think every game is like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? What's going to happen? No. And then when he does, not everyone, Joe. I'm just saying And then when he plays a minute, it's like, oh, my God, this is why he doesn't play. And every basket, see, he should have been playing forever. It's just, I don't know.
It's all right. It's going to be okay.
I find it to be an exhausting exercise.
I feel that you're exhausted talking about it. I just needed to bring it up because
I like him.
I did think that was a missed opportunity in hindsight. It sucked that he was feeling sick. Because in a blowout like that, it's kind of what I want JK in there. The cynic and a lot of people say, oh, well, they wouldn't even made that comeback if JK was there. So I was just like, okay. Well, I would still like to have seen Jonathan Kuminga out there trying to ball out, trying to get his confidence back. For as much as we're saying Moody might maybe got his confidence back, that could have been there for JK last game. So that kind of sucked that he wasn't able to do that.
But let's just say he plays, I'm just going to throw a number out. Let's say he plays 9 minutes tonight, Jonathan Kuminga. It'll help. Every contribution helps. But the 32 minutes from Butler and Draymond Green, or the 40 minutes from Butler, if he plays that many, those are more important.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? When I even in the first hour, we were talking about Draymond Green. I think he's had a bad series overall. Situationally, I think he's been really good. But I think for long stretches, his offense has been a big net zero. He's not, creating assists. He has been few and far between in terms of looking at the basket. I think he's compromised a variety of lineups offensively. And then defensively, he's trying really hard. It's a bad matchup for him, right? But having that sophisticated conversation on air, it doesn't seem like the audience wants to, because no matter what, people are cemented in their view of who Draymond is, and he's an all-timer. And so when you critique things and when you bring up how important he is to winning and losing, no one wants to have that conversation. We'd rather obsess about Kuminga playing or not playing, or if he's smart or if he's not, or if he can contribute or if he can't. And that, I'm like, guys, can we talk about the zone defense that the Rockets are playing? I know. I, Joe, this is just the way I view it when I see these things.
That's fine. We were talking about Lonnie Walker having that game against the Dubs a couple years ago. It would be something if we had a Jonathan Kuminga moment tonight. It's the Jonathan Kuminga game. It sounds absurd.
I'd be pulling for him, but I pull for Quinn Post, and I pull for Dre, and I pull for Jimmy. I pull for the Warriors.
Right? No, I say
it
sounds.
And I don't like that it's like factions of fans.
Well, I said it sounds absurd, but doesn't the fact that I still have to say Lonnie Walker game, which sounds absurd, but it happened. Crazy things happen in the playoffs. I'm just saying, if his number's called upon tonight, I hope JK rises to the moment.
Joe, I am rooting for him to fulfill the promise that we had when we took him.
The prophecy?
I'm kidding. We've seen flashes. Like, I'm rooting for him. Like, but also, he's got to meet me in the middle and play better when he's out there and seize the moment. And, like, there's a variety of things that are going on all at once. And that's why I find the whole exercise on Kuminga to be an exhausting one for me, because we've talked. I'm not mad at people for bringing it up, dude. It goes through my head during games when I'm like, "Hey, they're looking for a jolt. Could you play him?" But you know what? I also do that for TJD.
Yeah.
Like, hey, could you use TJD? I do that with Pat Spencer.
Santos. Yeah,
I do that with all those guys. So I'm not mad at anyone. It's just I find the conversation, not ours, but other conversations that I see and I hear from people, to be the same one where it's like I am cemented in he's not good. I am cemented in he's the savior. Well, I think it's somewhere in between. And it's just...
That's too nuanced of a take for Sports Talk Radio. I'm just going to let you know. We got Bonta Hill coming up in about 4 minutes in studio. Bonta Hill, Warriors pre- and post-game host for Warriors Live, NBC Sports Bay Area.
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
I wouldn't. Kayla is in San Francisco, wants to talk Kayla. Starting lineups. Kayla, good morning.
What's up, y'all? You guys asked two questions. One, what do we need to do tonight to win? And two, who should we have in our starting lineup between Moody and Buddy? I think they're related. One, we just cannot turn the ball over, guys. And I think Buddy is too suspect out there. I think Moody does a better job defending the perimeter and stealing guys off and getting those defensive rebounds, protecting the ball. So I would put Moody in, and I would really watch our turnovers and really watch our outside perimeter rebounding. The second chance possessions we're giving up are just killing us. So that's my two cents. I hope we win tonight. Go Dubs.
Good call.
Great call, Kayla. We actually, you know, you can play the sounder for this one. This, I think this is big news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
I'll take this one here. This is according to Shams, Big Shams Bomb here. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich will no longer be the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He is transitioning to the full-time team president. So at age 76 and 29 years as the head man of the San Antonio Spurs, Coach Popovich will no longer be on the sideline.
Wow. Again, we're talking all Warriors today, but that is one of, if not the greatest head coach in the history of the sport, Greg Popovich. Obviously, Steve Kerr leans on him a lot. Steve as a player and, you know, as a coach, as his peer. Wow. And I'm actually glad he's still being a part of the organization. I thought we were going to lose him. You know, he had a stroke. He's 76 years old, man. Like, I was concerned. He's one of the faces of our, like, we all like to make fun of the guy because of his surly nature and his short interviews. He's one of the greatest of all time.
He's a top five coach all time in almost everyone's book, no matter how old and how far back you go.
That is definitely breaking news worthy. Greg Popovich no longer going to be the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
The thing that I think of with him, similar to, but to a lesser degree, Bochy and obviously Bill Belichick, it's not just the excellence. It's not just the longevity. It's the longevity with evolution. As the game transitioned, he was always at the forefront of pushing the game forward. Okay. Yep. He started with the two bigs. You know what I mean? Like when he was there, it was Duncan and Robinson. And then eventually, you know, that team went to a team that was a little more perimeter based. And then they went to ball movement. And like they won in so many different ways. If you were to say, like, what's the Spurs system? What year are we talking about?
Right. No, it's great. Evolution.
Yeah.
Right? His ability to adapt
Absolutely.
And evolve, right? Charles Darwin would love him.
You know, there was a point in time where, like, if you said, oh, the Spurs, you would like, ugh. You're thinking Spurs Pistons ugh. In the 80s. Look at how you're rolling your eyes.
So
but
boring.
The original Spurs team was Sean Elliott that won it all.
David Robinson. Yeah.
They were fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun team.
Big, strong.
Right? And then by the end, when they were playing the Miami Heat in the finals, it was a totally different look in terms of half-court offense.
You thought of Tony Parker, right?
Ginobili.
High IQ. Danny Green.
Making the extra pass.
3-and-D. Yep. Passing. That's what I thought
Forrest
about
D.
that. Hey, let's just be honest. What we're seeing with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
That was the early blueprint of
no
what we
doubt.
Saw. That ball movement from those San Antonio Spurs teams. And we saw that Spurs team, the next iteration with Kawhi Leonard. Let's not forget, they were up big on the Warriors in that game one. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then the Zaza play up, and we don't have to get into all that.
And then just from
we got into it. Turn off the mic so we can hear. He does have his headphones on. Oh, this guy's got his own walk-up song now? Wow. Is this WWE? There's no snare on your headphones? You can't hear? Turn up your... There you go. He's back. Hey, give me one. Come on. You know what I want. You know what I want.
Come on, Sausalito Shasky, let's go.
It's like that first bong rip, that first of the swisher.
You heard it right there.
It feels
there.
Better than sex, huh?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting live from the Laughing Mug Studios. That voice is Bonte Hill. He joins us in studio, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. You know him, you love him. 95.7 The Game host of Warriors pre and post game live on NBC Sports Bay Area. He'll be doing that coverage starting with, when tonight, Bonte, for you
five
guys?
Five o'clock. Get there early. Come on, man.
Chase, you going to be out there?
Oh, come on now. Gatehouse, 5 o'clock.
I was thinking maybe you just let me do the hosting duty.
You want to do the hosting job? I'll go watch and put on a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? I go put on one of the
you got to put on the t-shirts, right?
Yeah, I go put on a t-shirt, man. Get that college atmosphere rolling. Well, hey,
are you guys
going
to be covering it?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be
covering what?
Well, Mark is going to probably arrest Dylan Brooks before the game.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you've been listening.
No, I have been listening. Actually, you know what? I may or may not sit in tears and text saying, God bless your soul, because Mark, listen, the Detroit Pistons, when they knew Magic Johnson had a bum hamstring in 1989, went at him relentlessly. I watched the Toronto Raptors in 2019 in game number 5 with Pascal Siakam pick up Kevin Durant full court to test out his calf. Hell, we just saw in the divisional round playoff game between the Packers and Niners where the Packers knew that Debo had a bum shoulder and went at that shoulder. You're not intentionally trying to hurt him, but if you got an opportunity to put a little oomph on it, then you do that. You do that. So they're not hacking at Stephen Curry's thumb, but if you get a little physical with him, bump him a little bit.
It's called gamesmanship.
It's gamesmanship.
Thank you.
Gamesmanship. What is Mark Willard? I swear to God, I wanted to text Mark Willard saying, have you ever watched sports before? If guys got a sore rib in baseball, right? Aren't you going to pound him with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball? They're going to throw inside.
Exactly.
See if he can turn on that fastball.
If he's got a sore wrist, I'm throwing it on his hands.
It's not about whether or not they're better than me or, oh my God, I think I'm just not good. No, it's gamesmanship. This is what happens in sports. So enough with Thumbgate. Stephen Curry knows it. He's got that tape on. Amen Thompson's like, I want to see you dribble with your right hand. I'm going to force you to dribble with your right hand. That's what happens.
Can I thank Mark? He gave me great content.
Great producer.
My brain was tapped out on a Friday, and he gave me something because I was sitting in the car, and I was like, this is phenomenal radio.
No, it wasn't phenomenal radio. It was actually bothering me
a little bit.
Because I don't know if he was being truthful or not. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Are you just doing it for the...
Don't do that, Shasky.
I'm feeling frisky on a Friday, all right? I'm doing it.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, real quick, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, and you're just joining our airways, Bonta Hill in studio for this entire hour.
Hi, everybody.
Along with Spadoni and Shasky. Dylan Brooks, after game 5 in the Rockets win, talked about swiping at Stephen Curry's injured ham/thumb.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
And he's right. And he's right. And we were talking about that when John Morant in the play-in game.
I was going crazy because they didn't isolate him and try to cook him. Right. He was compromised.
That's what teams do.
Yes.
That's what teams do.
When a guy fouls one up off his foot, you know what you do? You throw him a slider in to see if he can, like, you know, right? Like
Reggie Miller was talking about that not too long ago. Reggie Miller was like, dude, if I knew a guy was a little compromised, I'm going at him.
You know what I've referenced, and you'll love this? What happens in tennis if a tennis player rolls their ankle, Bonte?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to the net. I see that Bonte here injures his ankle. I'm going to make him come to the net and keep running back and forth, back and forth. That's what the young guys did to Djokovic, and that's why he's been falling off a little bit, because age is a mother, and that's what happens.
The T-Wolves knew that, hey, Luka's not in shape. Oh. He's got a bad back. He's got ankles. Let's isolate him. Not only is he a matador on defense, but you know what? Let's go at this dude. Go at him. So you know what, man? It's all fair. Steph's not making the excuse at all. He's not. And you know what? Dylan Brooks, I hear a lot of people, Mark Willer was like going at him.
I think Dylan Brooks was one of their best players.
The Golden State Warriors, we would love him. He's shooting 40% from three. He's averaging 14 a game. And you know what? I heard you talking earlier about the quarter gold, Doc. So I'm not trying to flex or anything, but Mully and I are sitting courtside before game three. Uh-huh. And Dylan comes over and he goes, what's up, legend? How you doing? Like, respecting Chris Mullins, like, what's up, legend? And so Mully starts talking to him. He looks over and says, hey, Dylan, cover one of your games at Oregon. They play Rhode Island. They were down like 17 when Danny Hurley was a coach at Rhode Island. It was Jordan Bell, Tyler Dorsey, Dylan Bruce. I was like, you guys are talking a gang of stuff up there. He goes, that's kind of what we do. And he just kind of laughed it off. It was just kind of ho-hum, whatever. And look, he has to play that way. That's how he made his – some guys make their career by playing like that. And you know what? He got an $80 million contract from the Houston Rockets by playing that way. He's shooting the ball better. He had a rolling the other day. Actually grabbed on Man Thompson after and was like, yo, we got work to do. We're down 3-1. Stop talking.
Him and Fred VanVleet,
Look, if he was on the Golden State Warriors, we would love Dylan Brooks.
Absolutely. He's been their second best player. Consistency-wise, I know Fred VanVleet.
I think he has an argument to be their most consistent player on both
games. Yeah, that's not a bad call.
Throughout the games, because Şengün has had a couple of dud halves.
Yeah, no, that's a good call.
Dude, his turnaround game, like, he's hit a lot of big turnaround shots when this team's needed it.
Like late shot clock ones, too, when they've definitely needed it.
Dylan's been really good. But the guy for me, and you put the tweet out, and then I just looked at some of the stats, Fred VanVleet, you know, having the same amount, essentially, of threes as Steph Curry shooting almost the identical clip, that cannot sustain if they want to win. Well, they need to have the advantage from the three ball spot. And then you look at turnovers, and Draymond Green, fouls and turnovers, the same amount of points, 32 of them in this series. That's not enough. And when you look at his assist total, only 11, like, Dre's assist to turnover ratio is extremely important. It tells me if his shot's falling or not, because if his shot's falling, the passing lanes open up and he'll be a 2 or 3 to 1 assist to turnover guy. When he's not taking shots, the passing lanes get clogged. They sag off him. He's not as effective offensively, and it makes things more difficult for the Warriors. I think he's the key guy tonight. I think he is the one.
Well, he's got to set the tone offensively. He's shooting just 31% from the floor, 20 from three. I think we got some breaking news, though, here. Some massive news in the NBA world. Greg Popovich will no longer be head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, transitioning full-time to team president, man.
What if he locked in, Bonte, right before you came in? We were talking about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I'm locked in.
And then we played Ready right here on there.
I'm in my bag right now. But Draymond Green, we saw this a couple years ago with Jalen Brunson. Defending Draymond Green, taking away his playmaking ability, pressing him 94 feet. The Rockets have done a good job of Fred VanVleet getting it into his head offensively and making sure that, hey, we know with Draymond Green, we're going to make him either shoot it or pass it. So he's not having a good series offensively for sure. He's had his moments defensively, but offensively he's got to be a lot better.
Absolutely. Real quick, you did mention it, and I do want to get your thoughts, and we'll get back to the series, obviously. But Greg Popovich stepping down, obviously a huge mentor when it comes to Steve Kerr, the current head coach of the Golden State Warriors, as a player and also as a coach, being one of his peers, like one of, if not the greatest in the history of the sport. He's in that conversation. Yeah. He's stepping down. I'm happy to hear that he's staying with the team. He's 76 years old. He's getting up there. But a stroke, again, I'm not saying this to be funny because it's the rhyme. That's what it is. Stroke's no joke, man. Like that, being that age and for him to still be a part of the team, that's really good stuff. But it sucks under these circumstances that, you know, he has to step away, but for his health, for everything that he's gone through, I know he lost his wife.
Right.
You know, just celebrating a legacy and a tremendous legacy, if that, of Greg Popovich.
That's a hell of a job opening, too.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Pop. Yep. He's done a lot for this league.
Castle.
Whatever, you know, Stephon Castle.
They got a lot of trade pieces.
Trade pieces. You know, for a while, I was like, man, what would Steve Kerr do if he didn't sign an extension? You know, who's going to want? That's a hell of a job to have. Well, them dudes are lining up for that. Danny Hurley's going to go down there and get that job?
Well, I was thinking Mr. Dynasty.
Oh, Michael Malone. Was he a pop disciple?
He was not a pop. Okay, you know who was, though? Taylor Jenkins.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's the president now. We'll be involved in those talks.
Mike Malone, dude.
I was saying that. Who's the current coach? Who's that guy? He's young.
David Adelman. The coach of Rick Adelman. Yeah,
Rick's son.
No. The current coach of the Spurs. The young guy.
There's some interim.
Yeah, thank you. No one even knows.
There's so many of them, I can't even.
Joe Horn.
I was thinking about Popovich, and I told him, like, similar to Bochy, the way he coached for so long, there's this excellence, there's a longevity, similar to Belichick. But for me, all three of those guys similarly, and I would say more Pop and more Belichick, evolution over the years. So, like, the way they won that first title with the two bigs, and that was a very unique style of play. And then they evolved to having a little better perimeter player to, by the end, when they were winning, it was unbelievable ball movement. It looked visually nothing like it did from that first championship team when they're going up against the Heat, for example. And Belichick has that same thing. You look at the early title teams, they look stylistically extremely different from the final title team with Tom Brady. And so I think Popovich is one of the greatest coaches, not just in basketball, but in sports.
No, that's a great point because they did evolve offensively. By the time 2014 came around, I was like, damn, look at all the threes they're making and all the ball movement. And you know what? The Warriors' first championship team in 2014-15, I kind of thought about that Spurs team. The way they moved the ball looked very similar to that Spurs team that dusted off Miami in five games. And to your point about Belichick, defense, run the ball. By the time they're winning championships with Brady and the last few championships, all of a sudden they're going four wide. They're checking it down to running backs. And they're throwing the ball around the yard. So Pop evolved with the times. Hell of a coach. And longtime assistant with the Golden State Warriors under Don Nelson is where he kind of learned some of his philosophies from. So shout out to Pop, man, because strokes are no joke. We saw that with our friend Damon Bruce, El Stroke Loco. It's a scary, scary situation.
And like when you are like San Antonio is a big city, but it's the only sports team in town. Mm-hmm. Like the major ones. It's the
remember
only
when they were trying to get the Raiders. You guys remember that?
They were.
I went down there. The New Orleans had Katrina. You know, they were playing at the Alamo Dome, the New Orleans Saints, for about a year. My buddy Sancho and all them. Yeah. But
he was like, on that team. You're laughing. He was on that team.
I don't know where he is right now.
He in prison. Popovich being that guy for that team in that region. There's a Vince Lombardi-like quality for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. The way that the Packer fans view Vince Lombardi over the years, like, he is that dude. So, yeah.
He is that dude.
He is third career. He ranks third, I should say, in career playoff wins, and he is one of five coaches to win at least five titles.
So, Red.
Yep.
Phil.
Yep.
I just I've had a lot of time on my hands.
Pop.
I just watched that Celtic Dynasty. That's Celtic incredible. City.
Winning way.
Don't ruin it because I'm not all the way down.
I'm a sucker with the Yankee stuff and the history and everything. Red Auerbach is unbelievable.
Cigars.
I wish I was around for
Larry
Bird.
Turning off the AC.
The gamesmanship against the Lakers and the cigar. And
they would
pull the
springs out from underneath certain floors. That's in a different dock.
He also helped break the color barrier in the NBA.
Yes. Yep.
First African-American drafted by the Boston Celtics. The first all-black starting five, the Boston Celtics. Sam Jones and Casey Jones and Bill Russell. I mean, the documentaries. And then the race wars in Boston. The differences, you know, in different communities and Celtic cities. Girl, I wouldn't know you like that.
Well, I went on a Boston kick, even though I can't stand them, because I did the Red Sox doc Durant, on the clubhouse. And like Duran and all, it was a very fascinating. Cora, the coach, is unbelievable. Big fan of him. But okay, there are five guys.
You have Phil Red. And then Pop, obviously. That's three.
Popovich.
There's two more.
I'm going to say Pat Riley.
Correct.
You got to throw Riley in there.
And then there's one more.
Minneapolis Lakers coach. Yeah. I don't think you'll get this. John Kundla.
I wouldn't have got that.
There you go. So there, he's an older guy.
Kerr with four.
Yep. He can get to five. And Eric Spoelstra with Two. And he's
one is an assistant.
Riley got that first one because he took over for Stan Van Gundy.
Riley, wow.
I know.
Remember, he came down.
Yeah, he did come down.
That was pretty sick.
They fired Stan Van Gundy.
You think Pop might do that next year if they're in the playoffs?
So Trent Baalke should have done the Jaguars at the end.
Real quick, just talking about all of that. Oh, did I lose my train of thought? I pulled the guru. I might have lost my train of thought.
Game six. Come on. You know what? Chase Center, I'm going to shout out Chase Center because, you know, there's course, everybody, when the Warriors start losing, it's the lazy thing to do. It's just like we do with the Niners. They start leaving. Oh, the stadium sucks. We can't get in and out. You know what, what I'm talking about, Shasky.
Chase Center. There is some truth.
No, I'm not going to do that. Levi, shout out to Levi. He's got the hostess during the draft day show. I love Levi Stadium. Yeah. Super Bowl 60, the hostess.
If you leave now, you'll get there for week one.
First time I got on these airways, real quick, is because you guys were trying to get to the parking lot of Hilton Santa Clara. Yeah. Nahegan lets me know because I'm running the game. Yeah. We need someone on air. Get on air. This is a big win over the Vikings. Get on air. So it was me, Ryan Mauser, and Bobby Spang, former producers.
That was when I ran my first marathon.
Yeah.
No,
we were sitting there for 20 minutes with people looking at us, and we weren't on air. And then all of a sudden, Chassie's like, Jimmy Garoppolo can't see it. He's not the long-term match. And I'm like, dude, live in the moment. Going to the NFC Championship game. You thought he was going to throw for four touchdowns against that Vikings defense? What an epic day that was. Anyway, game six. And Chase Center showed up and showed out for game 3 and 4. They showed up and showed out in 2022. And I'm not just, trying to run PR for the Golden State Warriors. I'm there in a tunnel. I can feel the crowd. And I know what Oracle felt like the last couple years. Oracle Arena became a corporate crowd the last couple years. Ask Steiny. Fans were leaving early. They weren't as engaged because they knew, okay, we're going to the NBA Finals. Chase Center has been rocking and rolling. And I expect that tonight because it's a game 7 tonight, folks. You do not want to go back to Houston, Texas. Not saying that the Warriors are going to lose a game 7, because I just found this out. Home teams are 4-8 since 2021 when hosting game 7s. Uh-huh. So the road teams has had success. But you got to put the Rockets away tonight. Yeah. All hands on deck. Show up and show out. Chase Center, I think, is going to be rocking.
Can you, the comparison, and we Ubonte, Shasky, myself, how many times do we bring up the energy or lack thereof of that Magic Warriors game when Orlando came into town?
Oh, that was,
it was on a Monday. Yeah, it was Brick City.
That's what I was like. They need to make a move. I thought he conceded. It's like, you know what? Maybe they do need to make a move.
It was bad.
Have you ever seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah, because you have that Ghostbuster outfit. See, I would now imagine you.
I said that first. Yeah, we'll continue.
But I would imagine you in the tunnel, like Egon with the PKE meter, trying to figure out the vibe at Chase Center. The vibe is now as good as it was at Oracle pre-Kevin Durant.
Everybody saw he's coming up because I have my clipboard with the little note cards, and I'm in the tunnel like this. I'm looking like a coach or a scout.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
I like how you use the nerdy white guy, not the one black Ghostbuster, Winston Zeddemore.
Well, Winston's way cooler than Bonte.
Oh, wow.
Well, he thinks I'm white because I like the Indianapolis all-white jerseys. The only white guy in the world.
By the way.
To horseshoe. I got Tyler Ward, too, man.
So now that Greg Popovich is stepping down.
And my guy, Riley Leonard.
So now that Greg Popovich is stepping down. So Eric Spoelstra, longest tenured head coach, 17 seasons. And then it's Steve Kerr. Second with, 11 total seasons, I want to say? 11 seasons.
Yeah, he's been here for a while.
Tom Thibodeau third with the Knicks for 5 seasons. That's actually crazy.
It's a player league.
Well, Michael Malone was in there.
I don't know what else to say.
We got two coaches. I mean, Michael Malone got 5-3 games before the playoffs, dude. This is the craziest thing ever. League. Taylor Jenkins.
I know it's not a GM league.
No, it's not. It's definitely a players league. Man. They run the show like LeBron James. You know what? Hey. Spadoni, you may want to leave the room for a second.
Why?
The whole L.A. Laker thing.
Oh, I wanted them so bad.
You know what? They did start to look vulnerable. I was like, damn, maybe we play the Lakers in the first round. But anyway, Luka, Nico Harrison, somewhere smiley. We know that. LeBron James basically said, I don't want to say anything. Not outside. He's still in the crib. He's definitely not outside. I don't even know if he's in his country anymore. Even Charles Barkley was like, Nico, dude, you're a good friend of mine. You just got to stop talking, bro. You got to stop talking. But no, seriously, LeBron James pulling the shenanigans. I don't want to comment on anything because Anthony Davis did it. He was gone the next week. LeBron, you had your fingerprints all over the deal.
Hey, come on.
And stop.
LeBron was the trigger man.
Yeah, he was. There's no doubt about
it.
The Lakers should blow him out. Get him and Bronny out of there. Get your organization back.
I'm inexperienced.
And then J.J. Redick.
Oh.
Look, the question wasn't the best question in the world. Of course, he's talking to his assistant.
I have it. You want to listen to
Scott
it again?
Brooks. Not really, because he's a smart one. I just like the fact that at the end he goes, thanks, coach. J.J. Redick, Reggie Miller goes on a broadcast. We had to calm him down in the pre-show meeting. Well, in the pre-game meeting. Well, first of all, Reggie, it's not your job to calm down J.J. Redick.
That's Richard Jefferson's job.
Wee, wee, wee. Oh, what embarrassing broadcast. Oh, that was embarrassing. But then The Lakers shambles, losing in five. JJ thinking he's the smartest guy ever. And seeing Bob Cousy on the Celtic City doc with JJ Redick's like, oh, he was playing against plumbers. He was a plumber. Bob Cousy would have cooked JJ Redick's ass. So the Lakers, Spadoni, you may want to leave the room, but feel good, man.
That's a weird assumption. Well,
great theater. You couldn't enjoy it as much. Yes, we were talking about it. But it was like the fact that they came off a blowout loss.
You couldn't
drink the Lakers' tears as much yesterday.
But if we win tonight, talking I about will.
It. There you go. If you will. And somewhere Jerry West is smiling as well because he hated J.J. Redick. And you know his relationship with the Lakers was fractured towards the end there. And he said, J.J., what have you ever done in the playoffs? And still, as a player and a coach, hasn't done anything. Hasn't done nothing. So there you go. Lakers are eliminated. Minnesota awaits the winner of this series between the Rockets and Warriors. Who's it going to be? They getting the job done tonight, Joe?
I think so.
You're pretty confident.
I'm way more confident today than I was yesterday. So, you know me. I live and die by the sword. And so, yesterday,
24 hours.
Things happen.
You know what, though? This series is closer than what people think. Rockets have actually shot the three better. Their field goal percentage has been better in this series. They've made more free throws to Houston Rockets than the Warriors have attempted. Now, the Rockets are 92 of 133 from the free throw line.
Jeez.
And you think about game four, losing by three, they missed 12 free throws. They missed 9 free throws in game one. They missed 10 free throws in game three. This series is close. And the Rockets, they've actually scored more total points than the Warriors in this series. They should be kicking themselves for not being up 3-2, but that's where the experience comes into play. Jimmy Butler's mind over matter. Steph Curry's mind over matter. Steph is due to explode after going back-to-back games under 20 points.
I agree with that. And you got to wonder how much, and he's never going to say it, and Anthony Slater and him had a little back and forth, and, the thumb, everyone saw the picture, I'm sure you saw it, getting off the plane, looked like a bowling ball that was on top of it, it was just swollen as all can be, and he's still saying, he's like, yeah, it's cold right now, I have a wrap on it, like, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, what do you want from me? It's like, same as Jimmy Butler, like, everyone's hurt, like, what do you want from me? Sure, it hurts, but that's not going to help anyone.
Well, I saw it at Sinners, we all watched the Sinners movie at Grand Lake Theater, Steph walked by, he goes, what's up, man? I was like, let me watch that right thumb. And it was like,
That was the most ridiculous humble brag.
No, it wasn't. I'm just telling you. This is why I'm coming
in
here.
When I went to the premiere of Sinners.
Go watch Sinners. It's a great movie.
And I ran into Steph.
No, they were there. I'm just telling you. Bully and Fezzi and I watched it together. Steph walked up and I was like, I don't want to shake that right. I want to keep that thing. We got dude, it's all good.
Most people, when they approach the king, they don't shake his hand either. They kiss the ring.
Well, I'm not going to tell Steph to kiss the ring.
We were wondering, Sam was wondering if you're going to have a helicopter fly you in today.
The H is not for helicopter. It's for Hill.
It's for Hill.
Sam, you want to get in there?
Wait, I mean, you guys basically said it right there, There you go.
That was going to get a helicopter in the studio?
His efficiency's been through the roof.
Yes.
You guys are giving him
the effective field goal shooting is through the roof. 95%.
Well, he's got his confidence back,
huh? Oh, yeah.
I see the jersey he's got on, man. He's got no breathing room in there, man. But you know what? I take Sam Lovin, though. Maybe.
I kind of grew into a little bit around the chest and shoulder area.
I think Sam Lovin is totally one of those guys who goes to the game with no t-shirt underneath the jersey, right? You know, you see those grown men walking around, guns out.
That's no the guru.
The guru.
He does do that.
Came with jeans, flip-flops, and a jersey with no undershirt.
When?
In the studio a few times.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no one time. It's happened multiple times.
Studio I'll accept because it was 100 degrees and humid, so he was allowed to do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
You know what, though? I don't need a helicopter to go to Chase Center. I'm 15 minutes away from Chase.
Oh.
Not a bad drive.
But get there early, though, right?
Minutes for by sure helicopter.
Get there early because you want to show up. 6 o'clock
my
start.
Police escort in 7 minutes.
Highway patrol.
Do you get escorted when you're there?
No, I do not get escorted.
No?
No, I do not. What,
the big boys?
He has his own presidential limo that takes him to Chase.
Security will ask me. They'd be like, hey, you need us to walk you to the stadium? And I'd be like, I didn't even hear Lovin. They'd be like, do you need to walk to the stadium? I was like, no, I'm good, man. It's all good. You don't need to do that.
The security.
What's Steph's main bodyguard guy?
Oh, Yusuf.
Yusuf leaving the Steph detail just to cover Bontek.
True story, right?
The president's
true
men.
Story. So I'm walking. On game four, I'm walking to Chase, right? And there's all these fans like want to take pictures
you don't
and everything,
walk,
right? I do waltz a little. I got the Ross with the eye strut.
He was sitting courtside.
I saw him, and then I did a hit with him the next day. He's sitting courtside with the sun. No, Ross with the eye is my guy.
It's unreal.
It's unreal, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he doesn't even know what he's doing.
I do know what I'm doing. I'm walking to Chase, right? And then I finally get to the door. And, and then I look back and I was like, are you good, Mr. Hill? I'm like, what? They're like, oh, yeah, we were just making sure you were all right. I was like, wow, you guys got escorts with me? I'm not Bully or Fezzi or Zena Cata, for crying out loud. Oh, anyway.
The great Zena Cata. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Bayview Restaurant and Lounge at the end of the test. We got Bonte Hill in studio.
I'm kind of sweating over here.
No, so I'm thinking next segment, Shadur or Kuminga? Your choice.
Oh, my God. No.
We'll get into that.
No, we don't have to get into one. He's out with a migraine. Just leave him alone.
What was that? What was that? Jordan who?
Not talking about this.
Oh, Bill Belichick's girlfriend. We're not talking about this. There you go. This Mother's Day, treat mom to something special. Brunch with a view at the Bayview Restaurant and Lounge at the Inn at the Tides. Enjoy coastal cuisine, fresh local flavors, and stunning Bodega Bay views. Reserve now. Mom deserves the best. Call now or visit innatthetides.com. Bonte Hill in studio. Come on back the other side. Warriors, game 6 against the Houston Rockets tonight. We're talking about it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
I'd like to see.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.